grab your pink champagne or your cappuccino to go, because you are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by, if he parties anymore, he'll start a fire of pure desire, David Lim, and me, when my phone rings, I can't talk, I've gone the wrong way. Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm good, JB. It's just so funny, that intro. It's very like someone rings you when you're driving. It's mess up your GPS. I can't talk, I've gone the wrong way.
Literally, ever since I think about it, it's like me walking somewhere on Google Maps, like someone rings.
But do you think that even when those lyrics were written, did we have Google Maps?
No.
So ahead of its time.
We'd be walking through Wee Paris, big, big old fold-out map. Walk, walk, walk. My mobile rings, my Nokia. I can't talk. I got the wrong way. China fan Eiffel Tower.
How have you been, Jolie B?
I have been good. Boy, David Lim, it has been a long, hot summer, hasn't it? A whole
Bloody
new meaning
hell.
Of the term.
Oh, my God. That single really, yeah, should have a resurgence in these times. So
absolutely. Just for a visual, everyone, we're sitting in our respective flats, both a bit moist with the humidity, and sat in our vests.
Your mum is listening, Joel. Sorry, Wendy.
I mean more of a glisten, you know. Because it's a long, hot summer, but we are doing what we do. We are channeling the girls.
Girls Aloud is obviously one of our favourite girl groups. And we know it's yours as well, because it has come up in requests from time to time. Although I must say, Joel, in recent times, I feel like some of our listeners are expecting us to maybe go a little bit deeper and do a little bit more obscure artists again. So, you know, we really need to think about it for future episodes.
25 years of Super Sisters Coffee. A three-part episode.
Don't tease. You know people want that.
Oh, I want it. I want it. I want it.
But you know what? This is a bit of a crowd pleaser, isn't it? We have to do Girls Aloud because, you know what? It's 20 years of Girls Aloud this year, isn't it?
We've got to celebrate the 20th by continuing the legacy of the girls. So, David, do you have a little recap or reminder of who these five incredible girls are and what they've been up to for anyone at home that doesn't know?
In case you missed it, episode 54, we started our Girls Aloud journey with pop stars The Rivals and Sound of the Underground. And then there's also episode 59, where we did the last album, What Will the Neighbours Say? So if you've missed that, scroll back, have a listen. But if not, if you're up to speed, welcome to Chemistry. We are today covering one of our favourite Girls Aloud albums, would you say?
This is my number one, number one. This is my album, David Lim.
This is the JB's definitive fave GA album, which is very exciting. So you already know they are one of the UK's most successful girl groups. They've made a huge impact in the 2000s pop music landscape, managing to clock up 20 consecutive top 10 singles between 2002 to 2009, which is absolutely insane if you think about it, Joel. Like, so many of our faves these days don't get a chart run like that, do they?
Absolutely not. I've been trying.
JB1 and DL1. Listen, for those of you who remember, was it a few months ago or was it last year? We did a little chart battle thing. Oh, I mean, the JB is still a little bit sore about that one. So let's not revisit.
Please don't, David. We've got to do the rest of the episode.
Let's not fall out here in the intro. But put it this way, DL2 and JB2, I think, isn't coming anytime soon. We're not going to do another chart battle.
We will. It's just got timing's got to be right. Yeah. Still rebuilding my reputation.
It's too real, that chart battle. Yeah. Anyway, back to the real charts. So Girls Aloud have sold over 4.3 million singles and over 4 million albums in the UK alone. On our last GA episode, What Will the Neighbours Say?, with that second album, we saw a real spiritual debut of Girls Aloud, wouldn't you say, as artists?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Came into the Girls Aloud that we know and love.
That was when I feel they really made their mark with the signature Xenomania produced tracks, catchy, quirky pop bangers like The Show and Love Machine. It got more fun. It got more hun.
And it still had a little bit for the mums and dads.
Exactly, a bit for the mums and dads, especially on their first headline tour. So, JB, today we are picking things up in the summer of 2005, coming off that great second album era. Here comes album number 3. Chemistry, which some might say is the best Girls Aloud album. We know it's number one for the JB. My personal favorite GA album is still to come. But this is also special for me because this is kind of my entryway into the Girls Aloud universe.
Oh, and what an entryway it was. So as you were saying, David, the girls wrapped up their What Will the Neighbours Say tour in June. And by August, we have them back kicking off the third album era with Long Hot Summer.
The next global climate change summit, we need to see like a Greta Thunberg cross Girls Aloud collab. You know, we need a new version of Long Hot Summer with like a climate change message, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'd love to see that campaign, you know, climate change awareness plus pop banger trending on TikTok. Let's go, girlies.
Let's go, girlies. So this song came about because it was written, rush written, as Xenomania would tell you, to be on the 2005 Herbie Fully Loaded film. Now that is the Lindsay Lohan headlining Herbie feature film. Now, unfortunately, something happened along the way and it didn't end up on the actual soundtrack. That's the second time this has happened for our girls. If you rewind to the first album era and you had You Freak Me Out for the Freaky Friday soundtrack, again, maybe Lindsay just wasn't a fan of the girls.
Oh my God, is it a second Lindsay film project? That
second Lindsay times Disney. Maybe she went, no. Why would I have 5 British girls on my soundtrack when I have my album track first? I want to come first, not Girls Aloud. I'm a girl and I'm loud, okay?
But listen, look, I really love it for Girls Aloud that they were clearly of a position at Polydor where they were getting international looks.
Absolutely.
It feels very so close, but so far.
Now, they did still keep the theme of the film for the music video, so they gifted us with that.
It's so funny you said that thing about the Herbie film, because for the first time, I'm looking at the CD cover. When it's cropped that close, it could look like a Herbie car.
Are you insinuating that they airbrushed Herbie out?
No, look, I'm looking at the notes from Form UK, which is the design company behind Girls Aloud's iconic single artworks and the last album and this one. They said it was a Cadillac car that was hired for this shoot. So sadly, not a Herbie car.
Oh, well, it's absolutely brilliant. I'm sure Kim would have loved to have worked with Herbie, such an industry legend, but not at this time. Now, I loved this song when it came out. I was so ready and raring for it. I would have eaten up anything the girls had given us at this time. While looking back now, it's probably not like my favourite, not in the top 5, but
oh, really?
I still think it's a fantastic Girls Aloud single nonetheless.
It's really lots of fun, isn't it? I do feel like in another life, this could have been a Bananarama single, perhaps.
Mm,
it has that kind of fun,
absolutely.
Summery vibe about it, doesn't it?
It was very prominent on my MSN Messenger at the time, David. You know, putting all the lyrics, you know, in the status or whatever it was. And I always thought the lyrics was, it's 95 degrees in the shed.
No ventilation.
Well, I just thought, you know, it's so hot, you're going to go and have a sit down in the shed. You know, maybe you've got a bar in there. I don't know. I just thought, yeah, 95 degrees in the shed. And my friend messaged me and was like, I think the song lyric's shade. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's shed. But never in the life of me did I think it would be shade. And it was. I stand corrected.
Now, JB, there were some quite progressive lyrics. I know you like to wear my dressing gown when I'm not there. I guess you like it in my shoes. What's really fun is, in research for this episode, I started to listen closely to the GAY live version.
Oh, yeah.
And the altered lyrics, it just got fruitier, didn't it?
You got to do something for GAY, haven't you?
Dead fruity. So you know what? That was released as an iTunes exclusive back in the day, but now it's on streaming everywhere. On that version, you can hear Cheryl saying, I know you like to wear my dressing gown when I'm not there. My dresses and my makeup too.
Ooh. You could in one way say that it's maybe the spiritual continuation or sister of the show because of the lyrics in that. Should have known, should have cared, should have hung around catching my underwear, acting like a lady. Maybe they inspired a generation of Drag Race.
You know what? If they ever did a lip sync on Drag Race UK, I want to see the fruity GAY live version being lip synced. Because also, like, Nadine's bit was like, because boys have seen you disco dancing with your pants on fire. Like, it's a change of one word, but it completely switches the kind of scene of the narrative, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Now, speaking of Nadine's part, David,
oh,
as we all know, Xenomania, they all, I believe everyone gets a go to just sort of record everything and then they chop and change pieces up. We have a fantastic Nadine rap in this song. First time she's listening to it. She didn't even know it was her. She's just looking around like, oh, it's the lovely bit of the song there. And then it's like, oh, is that me? She couldn't believe it, David. Do you know what I mean?
Is that me? What have I done now?
I thought it was Kimberly.
I could not believe it.
Me rapping? No, take it off.
Nominate me for a MOBO next year. I don't know what that accent is. Oh my God, we're not.
You went Australian. That was the most Australian you've ever sounded in your life. Now, we've touched on the music video, but I don't drive, David, but this is the only place I would take my car. It's a great visual. Our five fabulous girls as, you know, car repair people.
Yeah, and mechanic chic. I love that chic. There's really strong kind of working girls themes in the music video so far. You know, we saw in, was it the show that they were working in a beauty salon?
Yes.
And now they're working in a mechanic's yard. Like, it's super cool. It's super camp. It was directed by Max and Dania, who have done a lot of Craig David's music videos, as well as So Solid Crew, and also Dame Sophie Ellis-Bextor's Get Over You. But I feel like, brilliant, looking at their videography, this is probably the campest thing they've done in a while. Like, that is iconic.
As any good music video should have, they take off their overalls to reveal a fabulous, sassy Girls Aloud outfit and continue to do their dance routine.
The overalls, it's got GA autos at the back. Need it. I hope someone kept it. I'm sure Kimberly has kept it all.
Yeah, send it to David if you've got a spare one. Just send it to our David.
Oh, David, you can have that one.
Oh, you'd fit into it, David.
GA autos.
GA autos. So we could get DL autos and JB autos.
Next Mighty Hoopla.
So this was a big number 7 hit here in the UK. My only problem with it at the time, I remember thinking as a 14, 15 year old, why release the song of the summer at the end of the summer?
Oh, God. Because they were looking ahead to global warming when...
I know.
The but summer will be longer.
In 2005, though, we, you know... So that was the only thing. I'm like, oh, a long, hot summer. And it makes a sense. It's called a long, hot summer. But I'm like, you just got to get the song of the summer out at the beginning of the summer, you know?
Yeah,
but they did what they had to do. They did what they had to do.
Maybe they should have done it as the kind of single going into the tour.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Steps like to do that.
Yeah, you know, a little buzz single for the tour. But I guess it just wasn't ready. But
it was Bloody Herbie. That was
Bloody
what it
Herbie,
was.
Bloody Herbie.
Bloody Lindsay.
Bloody Lindsay. We love you, Lindsay, as you know.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we've done a Lindsay episode, so yeah, we can't hate.
No, absolutely. But it's a shame, you know, at the Freaky Friday premiere, we had Girls Aloud with their parents. There was no, as far as I'm aware, no fun, stunty, Herbie Fully Loaded premiere look. But if we're wrong, send us the pics. We'd love to see them. That's at Right Back Pod. And this was Girls Aloud's first single to miss the top five, but that doesn't matter at all. It is a top five It is a top 10 smash hit. In Scotland, number 13, Ireland 16 and 27 on the European Hot 100 singles, Davo.
Now, looking at the UK charts that week, you know, very strong, very varied competition the week that Long Hot Summer debuted. We had Oasis debuting at number one. Rihanna Ponder Replay debuting at number two.
Wow.
Simon Webb from Blue debuting at number four. Brilliant. And Black Eyed Peas Don't Lie at number six. So those were the new entries above Long Hot Summer. And also very interestingly, speaking of girl groups, a new girl group popped on the charts for the first time in the UK. Don't Choke by the Pussycat Dolls that week.
Oh, brilliant.
Number 85.
Flop.
Not heard of that single.
First week of downloads, different time. Well, that's brilliant. And did Oasis get the Herbie soundtrack feature?
Oh, imagine.
That's where it went to.
Lindsay.
You're right, Lindsay. We'll do a couple of numbers for your Herbie movie.
Oh, Joe.
I'm assuming that's Oasis. I don't really know.
I mean, I love it. Whatever it is, that is just, that is Oasis for me now. Yeah. We had a couple of iconic live performances of this
era.
Oh,
yes. Well done for bringing it back. David, the propography is back.
Okay. What is it this time then?
So, depending on the performance, we've got signature fans, sun loungers, the mechanic overalls to recreate the video, and they even brought a Jeep to CDUK. They really did mix it up so it wasn't the same every performance.
That CDUK performance was so much fun. The girlies were in the Jeep in the intro before Cheryl sings the first line. Nicola in the driver's seat offers her a sip of drink from her cup. And then when Cheryl turns it away, she kind of chucked her drink at Cheryl. And it was actually sand in there. But it kind of looked like, love
Nicola.
It.
Nicola.
Who looks like a dickhead? Not you.
Well, let's get there, David, all right? Give it an hour. Elise as well, you know. Furby is iconic, but...
Furby?
Herbie is iconic, but they swapped it in for a sexier number, and a Jeep is dead sexy. Jessica Simpson approved, as we all know from the I Think I'm In Love With You music video. So... following that up, in October 2005, they did an ITV2 special, Girls Aloud Home Truths. Now, this is a ITV2 documentary that followed the girls during the What Will the Neighbours Say tour and shows the beginnings of the making of the Chemistry album and a bit of Long Hot Summer, a precursor to Off the Record and What's to Come, if you will, Davo.
Now, what's really interesting is we hear Kimber in the booth recording lines for Models, a track that will be on Chemistry. And also Sarah, that bit in there where she was recording a few lines, it's actually not a track that ended up on Chemistry. She was doing the vocals for a song called On My Way to Satisfaction, which was recorded during the same album sessions, but ended up on the Centrinian soundtrack. So a nice bit of foreshadowing there.
Let's go to November 2005, David, where this era officially gets started and going and things get really excited with the launch of not the, but one of Girls Aloud's signature songs, Biology.
JB, let's start with the artwork because we got to start there. The Test Tube single artwork.
Iconic.
I remember the first time I saw that. It must have been on like Pop Justice forums or somewhere. And I'm just like, that is genius. Absolute genius. And again, thanks to Form UK, the graphic design company that came up with the concept and executed it and everything. The idea behind it, they said, was to deliberately pay homage to the punk classic Germ-Free Adolescence by X-Ray Specs, their artwork.
And then you have the other CD single that is just giving... The girlies, and the same vibe that I would like to say is for the music video. So let's segue that in, and I'm going to give you the vibe for both, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
I would say both this cover... and music video is set in the ultimate 2005 Office Angels meets Agent Provocateur walk-in wardrobe. Mm.
What is this video set? What is this concept? Because it's sort of like a boudoir, but then, you know, the girls are looking classy in kind of pencil skirts, the black ensemble, the red belts.
It's like Lion Witch and the Wardrobe, but for the gays and for office managers.
Oh, yeah. It's, don't you think the styling for Girls Aloud in Chemistry Onwards is very like, it felt like a shift upwards. Like it's more mature, but still relatable in a kind of high street girlies fashion way.
Because we're entering now, like we're like edgy cool pop. And obviously we're going to see that even so much more in the next album. But here is like, you know, we're not going to alienate our child fan base because they're here. We're delivering fun pop music, but we are like, edgy, sophisticated, cool, creditable pop.
Even the hair. It's giving modern Audrey Hepburn kind of feeling. You know what I mean? It's very classic and timeless.
Now, I must say, David, the first time I heard this song, I heard the song and saw the music video for the first time, hand in hand, same time. The music video was played on a program called B4, just the letter B and the number 4. This was shown on Channel 4 in the mornings. Maybe if you had Sky and the music channels, maybe you'd already seen it, but I was just a kid with terrestrial TV, so you make do with what you've got. And I waited in anticipation because I knew... the new Girls Aloud video was coming up. I couldn't wait. They showed it before school. I waited. I made sure I was seeing this. This was like a point viewing for me, sitting there waiting, eyes glued to the screen.
Your mom's like, Jolie, have you finished your breakfast? We got to go to school.
Mom, wait for Girls Aloud.
5 more minutes.
And let me tell you, Davo, I'll be honest, my heart sunk.
JB, tell me.
What is this? I thought, what is this? I didn't get it at all. Song, music video. I just thought, what on earth is going on?
Especially coming from Long Hot Summer.
Coming from the second album and Long Hot Summer, I'm just like, what is this? And what is this song? This isn't a bop. This sounds awful. Like, what is this?
Thank you for being honest. Yeah.
Yeah, it's our safe space.
It's our safe space. You know, a lot of people put Biology on a pedestal, rightly so. Very special song. But if we were to be real for a lot of us, our first time hearing it, it's a little bit like, what the fuck, right?
I thought, like, well, it's over. Like, what on earth?
Wow, dramatique.
You should have met me.
You was a gay man. You was a little baby gay turning off the telly, like, pressing down on that remote really hard. It's like,
Mom, I'm going to school.
Let's just go, Mom. Wasn't worth the wait.
But little did I know that after a few more listens, that would all completely change. Mm. And I went into full-on obsessed mode. If you knew me around that era, I was insufferable. I would be singing this chorus all the time. I'd be doing the dance routine.
Give it up and then it'd take it away.
Like, put science lessons. I would just be this.
Oh, my God. I can imagine you in a class. Teacher's like, right, get out your textbooks. You can't mistake my biology.
Literally.
Joel, sit back down.
Yeah, exactly that, David. I'm so glad you knew what I was like. It didn't take long for me to love the music video and love the song, but that was my first impressions.
Well, you know what? All the way in Australia, I was at uni when this came out. I felt the same. Even though the show was quite avant-garde in its own way, this was a different story. When Biology came out, I was like, what is this? Because it's got the bluesy piano riff. I was waiting for the chorus and it didn't quite, it wasn't apparent what the chorus was. But then I realized, do you know what? It's kind of like three different songs stitched together and every part is special in its own way.
And just think what could have been. It could have, all these pieces could have ended up into different songs. Thank God they didn't, because we got this perfect song.
Like different lyrics, different melody structures, different vocalists, you know, it's fascinating. I hope one day we'll get, for a Girls Aloud anniversary or something, we get different versions of, like an alternate version of Biology that comes out. That will be fascinating.
So again, we got some fantastic performances of this song, Devo. On Top of the Pops, a month before the single's release, it was a different time back then, we had a recreation of the music video, including Nadine draped across the piano, but we had backing dancers. The performance is pure joy. And we also had a fabulous performance at the Smash Hits poll winners party in the pink dresses from the music video.
Gorgeous. Love to see it. I must say as well, you know, Nadine and Sarah's soulful, vampy verse, like that to me is what kind of is the heart of the song. Why don't you fool me, feed me, say you need me, like that bit. Also, the reference to Without Wicked Games, that was apparently in reference to the Lost single, their cover of Chris Isaak's Wicked Game.
Didn't need it.
Didn't need it, did we?
Didn't need it, darling.
That didn't make it to it. But Joel, did you also appreciate lyrically that this had a little bit more of an American flavor to it? Like, we know with the last single, we talked about 95 degrees in a shade. Like, that's obviously 95 degrees Fahrenheit, which is not what we use here in the UK or Australia. But this song, I Got One Alabama Return. You know, it's very... Got my cappuccino to go. I'm heading for the hills again. Like, is that Beverly Hills, you know?
And it's like, yeah, because it could be like, now, well, these girls are loud. Now, Biology. Now.
Yeah.
But there's something so arguably British about all of it as well.
Yeah. I think it's because it's the girlies, right?
It needed the pom-poms and the American flag coming out, and then that would have been it. So this had some huge accolades as well, Devo. It was considered by The Guardian, they referred to it as the best pop single of the last decade. And in September 2006, Biology won the coveted Pop Justice £20 Music Prize.
And speaking of Pop Justice, we must say this excellent quote from Peter Robinson about the song, saying, "It's a great example of a song which pleased people with no passion for pop, but also managed to hit the spot with those who totally love the stuff. At once avant-garde and relentlessly demented mainstream, Biology quickly became one of Girls Aloud's signature tunes."
Well done, Peter. Well done, Peter. And also, speaking of America, David, it was listed at number 245 on Pitchfork's top 500 tracks of the 2000s list, despite Girls Aloud never having a stateside push. Billboard named the song number 32 on their list of 100 greatest girl group songs of all time.
Also gayest.
At number one.
One for the gays.
One for the gays and the office managers. And if you're a gay office manager, it's over.
Get your pencil skirts out, girlies.
On the official UK singles download chart, David, it peaked at number two and it was held off by Madonna's Hung Up. So that's just a little snapshot of what landscape we are in. In the wider charts, it peaked at number four on the UK singles charts, number three in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. Number seven in Ireland, 14 on the Europe Hot 100. And David Lim, in your homeland of Australia, it peaked at number 26 on the ARIA charts.
We'll get to the Australian story of Chemistry very shortly, but you know what? I just want to say, you talked about Madonna's Hung Up. That debuted at number one the week that Biology came out. So Biology entered at number four, but yeah, above it in terms of new entry, there was Madonna and Black Eyed Peas. So
it was, yeah.
Very strong. You know, given that this is, what, a November release, and I'm sure the label's probably thinking, like, I love it. The girlies are back in the top five.
Absolutely. And we must say, we had the fabulous Dead Moody, Dead Vibey, Nobody But You as the B-side.
Oh, yeah. Do you like that one?
Gotta love a GA B-side, David.
Mm.
The silence says it all. Mm. The questioning, do you like that one, says it all. No. You heard it here, listeners. Block him on all social platforms and follow me.
No. I've got other B-sides I really want to shout about in this era. We're going to get into some B-sides.
We're going to get to some fantastic... We're going to get to the invention of the next era in the B-sides, but we'll get there.
I know which one you're thinking of.
Yep. I'll say it now. No, I'm joking. We'll get there. All right, fabulous. Well, that was November, Devo, but I think let's pop along to December 2005, and Girls Aloud's third album is here, Chemistry. David Lim, this is my Girls Aloud album. I was obsessed. Now, what I didn't know is that Chemistry is a loose concept album. That was brand new information to me.
You were, you know, in the moment and stuff. But yeah, it's apparently a loose concept album which details celebrity lifestyle and what it's like to be a 20-something girl.
Now, Davo, I think we need to do this album the justice it deserves and go through it. Each song of the album. Let's kick off with the intro. I loved it. I loved having an intro on a pop music album in a way of, I know we'd had it on Xtina Stripped, but in this kind of pop music album, fantastic.
Why they describe this as a bit of a concept record, because we haven't had an intro on a Girls Aloud album before or since, right? It's always been track. So it kind of established a mood.
Are you saying what I think you're saying? Kimberlish do a UK musical theatre tour of Chemistry, the musical.
Poor boy Peter. We'll get there.
Anyway, let's kick off with the real, where the album really starts, Models. Lobster and crystal in rounds, back doors and bouncers on the A-list allowed. All those faces and the places to be seen. Darling, we're in fashion, don't you know? Cause he loves the models on the hugs, the models on the bunch. With models, cause he's drowning every day away he sleeps. With models on the dreams, a model's want to be. A model, cause it's all he's got to say. Girls, 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 girls.
To me, this feels like a spiritual sister to their cover of Duran Duran's Girls on Film.
But much better.
I just love this because it does sort of sound like in the intro that there's an element of drum and bass in there, and then it goes into like a really funky pop rock sound and also like elements of Californian surf rock.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's a bit of everything. And the lyrics, credit cards and lobster and crystal in rounds. Darling, we're a fashion, don't you know? It's just so much fun. It feels like it should be in an ABVAB episode.
It should have been a later single. For me, this should have been the fourth single of the album.
What a way to introduce people into the Chemistry project, because this whole album, it's really playful. And also, you know, there's very nostalgic notes from the 70s, 80s, cross-pollinating in there with synth pop, rock, new wave, a bit of Betty Boo style rap, also some gorgeous vocals and ballads. Like, it's a little bit of everything. So I feel like starting with Models is a kind of way, it's a bit of a statement to say, look, there may be some retro notes here, but you're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Absolutely. Strap on in for a bit of Chemistry. So then we have Biology, which we've spoken about. And then we have Wild Horses, opening, as you alluded to, our choir girls of Girls Aloud. Poor boy Peter didn't know how. Kimberly showing her musical theatre roots.
She must have been living for this part, honestly.
Oh, girls, I've got this. Lost him dearly like his dad. I love this track, David. Wild Horses Wouldn't Take Me Back to You. Oh,
get out of town and take your lazy dog with you. Your train is running late and overdue. Woo woo.
This could have also easily been a single. Again, it would have been a fantastic fourth single. But, oh, track four, and what a way this album is going.
Sarah Harding really, really shines on this one. I feel like it's a mostly Sarah and Nadine-led track. Mm. And I just love their vocals on this. And you know what? I can totally see Sarah doing this in a live solo set. I would have loved to have seen her do this.
Bless her. Would have been absolutely fantastic. And we would have loved to have seen it. All our love goes to Sarah always. Now let's move on. See the Day will be coming up. We'll chat about that. But David, track six, Watch Me Go. A co-write from my favourite member of NSYNC, the most talented member, JC Shazay. My question, are there more JC Shazay and Xenomania sessions out there?
Watch Me Go probably is my immediate favorite album track from the first time I listened to it. Dead Chique. It really seemed to capture the essence of that hedonistic, fun concept album that they're going for here. You know, if the concept is girlies in their 20s living in London going wild, I mean, you can see it hour by hour, the breakdown. They tell it to you, 3:15, I was in the shower, almost half an hour, you were at the door. 4:15, you were back again, said your name was Ben, then we went for more.
Glossy out, girls.
It's a story, it's a narrative, it's a drama, it's a series, it's a Netflix special.
Don't forget strippers and the vicars in the back.
I love that bit as well.
I think we need the right back at your dramatic reading of this. I know what you're thinking. You've been thinking about my butt.
You know, speaking of Emerson Messenger that you said at the start of the episode.
Oh, no.
This was my Emerson Messenger lyric. I know what you're thinking. You've been thinking about my butt. Mum's like, what are you talking about?
Thank goodness we didn't have emojis then. Imagine all those peach emojis that would have followed.
Oh my God.
It.
But yeah, shout out to Sarah Harding's very, very iconic verse at the end.
Fan bloody tastic.
Really was the joy of Facebook updates for me back in the day.
Bring back MSN. Now, track seven, you might have been waiting for it. It is waiting. We have Swing Jive meets 2000s pop. This is another standout for me. Wap, wap, the boy can do.
Don't stop the rhythm, cause it's coming through.
The candy lady said knock, knock, knock. Who wants to come on my candy shop? I give you something to take back home. To give you shivers that you didn't even know.
This was an immediate favorite album track for me, tied first with Watch Me Go. That devilish guitar riff, I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, okay, it's giving Franz Ferdinand.
David, the stuff they're selling is hot, hot, hot. So you're right. I like, though, that because, you know, my favorites are more really like Models and whatever, and yours are here. We normally fight for our favorites, as in who's going to get there first. So it's nice that there's a bit of...
Well, doing it this way, when you're reading it track by track in chronological order, kind of eliminates that kind of fight to who gets to see it.
No,
first.
But I mean, it's nice that we have different absolute faves. Favorites. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. Bloody hell. Anyway, Whole Lot of History is next, which we will get to. Long Hot Summer, which we've spoken about. It's where we are right now, David. Track 10, Swinging London Town.
Now, this doesn't sound like anything on the album. The kind of instrumentation of Chemistry is very rooted in bands and like instruments and guitars. And this really feels like, okay, Giorgio Moroder has entered the chat.
The Queen of London Town.
Now, listening to this one for me, it's we've had Here We Go, the Totally Spies theme. But this, David Lim, stay with me. This could be the theme to a female James Bond style film.
I'm into it. My favorite bit is Nicholas' really dreamy breakdown sequence where, you know, the vocals are a little bit blurred and echoey. It's sort of like, you know, you're about to pass out in the back of a cab and you can hear bits of sirens and sort of like traffic in the background. It's quite edgy, the lyrics.
Yeah.
Chelsea chicks drink white wine spritzers. GNTs are bottled beer in daddy's Bentley full of gear.
Oof. You can really imagine these kind of girls and being like a 2005 girly in London when you're listening to it. Like sort of nights out and all that.
But that's
that.
What I really like about this song. It really is evocative. Like Alexis Petridis at The Guardian summed it up best in his album review. Lyrics of this song sound like Blur's Park Life rewritten by the editorial staff of Heat magazine.
Perfectly sums it up.
I mean, for me, that is praise. I don't know if you meant it in a shady way, Alexis, but we claim it as high fucking praise.
Get that on the front cover.
Yeah, put that on a sticker on the front of the CD.
Absolutely. And you use the Heat magazine logo. Oh, brilliant.
Heat's album of the week.
Heat's album of the week. It's number 11. It's Magic. A full Nicola solo track.
Love it. Love to see this. Carrying on the tradition from the second album where some of the girlies got a solo track.
It's just like an electro pop moment. Absolutely brilliant. Really sort of subtle echoes to what's going to come from Nicola's solo career. Hugs and kisses, drunken wishes, hearts and pieces all on replay. In my memory, I thought it was a ballad, so I was really surprised when it was a lot more of an electro-pop number than I remember. So yeah, absolutely worth listening to with fresh ears if you haven't listened to the Chemistry album in a while. Officially, though, that's the end of the album.
It doesn't feel like an album closer.
I want proof and receipts of any territory that didn't get the next two bonus tracks in terms of this edition of Chemistry.
Yeah, because it's very essential.
So we're going to go to our first of two bonus tracks, No Regrets, and a Dean solo.
Listen, this is one album track that still gets played a lot.
Aww.
When I'm wistful and I'm just like walking by the River Thames, like just rainy Sundays, kids TV, fish and chips in NYC. You said we were meant to be. I was like, oh.
What a chanteuse.
So sure the cocktail
like people in their late teens and 20s in this era really probably did have those Sunday hangovers watching kids TV, which we unfortunately don't really have on TV now. So I feel like we missed out on that in our drinking years, but we made up for it by YouTube and all sorts.
But you know how on the last album they had Deadlines and Diets as a sort of hangover song? Maybe this is the hangover song from, you know, swinging London town nights out in Soho.
And what I absolutely love here is that Nadine absolutely flourishes here while not overdoing it, you know?
It was a subtle vocal performance, but
it's all it needed, you know? Like, because the thing is, it's not going to be a subtle... From Nadine, it's not going to be a subtle vocal performance.
We've all heard Insatiable.
But it didn't need any... Like, you know, it was just a bit more gentle and I have nothing to say other than chef's kiss.
Sadly, it was not on the Australian pressing.
Shocking. Now, let's go to the real closing of the album, Racy Lacy, track 13, our second of two bonus tracks. What a way to close, David. I I thought at 14, 15, I thought this was the sauciest thing ever. My jaw was on the floor and I loved it.
There's certain songs that don't necessarily age very well, and I feel like maybe this one doesn't age well. But also, I could say that about Destiny's Child's Nasty Girl from their Survivor album. So, but you know, it's kind of like, it's a bit of fun. It's a bit cheeky.
It's a storytelling. It's a storytelling of those, of the time.
Mm.
Snapshot moment of time. That's what it is. No judgments here at all. So guys, girlies, non-binary friends, we won't get Christmassy right now, but we should mention that there was a Christmas bonus disc if you purchased that gorgeous Christmas cover version of the album that we mentioned earlier. And there was a Australian release, Davo, wasn't there?
At the time, I didn't know what was going on in my life, but I completely missed Girls Aloud coming to Australia around February 2006.
Now, I've got to confess that we've heard about you through websites like Pop Bitch and stuff.
Oh, no. Great.
But Girls Aloud never had their show on Australian TV, so we've never seen the pop stars that launched your careers. Yeah. What did we miss on the show?
You missed the big best part, which was we beat the boys to the number one.
Yeah. That would have been great. So in the show, they were competing against a boy group and you guys totally caned their asses and in the long term as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
That was like 4 years, nearly 4 years ago now, and we're still going strong.
I know, and you sound so cute. I could listen to that all day.
Adam Eve, who you guys know from the Aloud podcast and also This Is Disco, he was there in person. He lived it. He's got great memories of it.
Met them.
Yeah, what a moment in time. And we did get a very interesting edited version of Chemistry. We had the show and I'll Stand By You in the track listing.
I remember at the time just thinking that that track listing was such a mistake, if I'm honest.
And we all know what I felt about Biology when I first heard it. That was a single they led with in Australia. I was kind of like, oh, interesting. Because single number two in Australia was The Show.
The Show and then I'll Stand By You.
Many of the other singles could have probably worked as a primer. I felt like Biology was probably too ahead of its time
for Channel V. I think for the girls, probably, if they'd gone out to Australia and promoted The Show, like the visuals and the video would have just felt so long ago to them. Mm. Like they looked very different as a band by then. And Biology is the most freshest and is already a signature hit for them in the United Kingdom. So Chemistry became Girls Aloud's first album to miss out on the top 10. It peaked at number 11, but let's give you all some context. The first week sales outsold Girls Aloud's debut album. So Sound of the Underground, the album, which debuted at number 2, sold 37,000 copies in its first week, whereas Chemistry, which debuted and peaked at number 11, sold nearly 82,000 in its first week.
That's the difference between a December release, very competitive chart position-wise, but incredible sales because people are buying stocking fillers and all that, versus a May release, which their first album received. So
there you go.
There you go. Yeah, but you know what? I'm sure people would have been like, oh no, missed the top 10 or whatever, but it still sold way more than the first album. So that in itself, people need to remember the facts. Yeah.
So yes, number 11 here in the UK, but a smash hit number 11. 4 on the Scottish album charts. Thank you, Scotland. The Iron Brew is on you. We love you. Number 31 on the Irish charts and number 12, David Lim, on the Australian Hit Seeker albums.
Wow, almost in the main charts. Yeah.
So where did you get, you bought the physical Australian copy?
My physical version of Chemistry actually was imported, so yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
Sorry about that.
You gotta help the girlies on the Arias.
So at the time, I'm sure the label was a little bit shocked. Chemistry end up spending only 16 weeks on a chart, which is Girls Aloud's shortest stay on the UK album charts. It's tied with 10 their greatest hits, so 16 weeks. To give you context, Sound of the Underground charted for 25 weeks.
Did have a re-release though.
Yeah. What Will the Neighbours Say charted for 23 weeks. I'm not saying I'm concerned.
No. The thing is, though, probably because that in that first week and the first few weeks of Christmas, right, probably a lot of the mums and dads went out and got it, where the sales are bigger in those weeks. So if a different time of year, those would have been longer weeks because not everyone would have got it in that small amount of time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think a lot of this kind of hinges on maybe the December single from this album.
Let's get into it, shall we? We're still in December 2005. It is the third single off the Chemistry album, a cover entitled See the Day. I know just what to do.
All I can say about this, JB, is nice gowns, beautiful gowns. I mean, the single cover is stunning. I love the one where all five of them are laying on the ground, sort of in star gorgeous. Shape. Stunning, with the skirts splayed out, like just gorgeous. Beautiful gowns.
Cheryl made sure she got herself on the sunbeds. It might be a Christmassy song, but she's got to look glowing. Do you know what I mean?
Joel, I have to ask. They had a Christmas tree album. Like, they had Christmas songs.
Oh, David.
There were some original Christmas songs tucked on Chemistry. Why was that not one of the singles in December?
Why are you attacking me personally? This is the energy I give you about the Australian chart positions. I can dish it out, David, but I can't take it, okay? Look, this was rushed, David. They shot this music video the day after they shot Biology. I think they just didn't think it through. It could have been a double A side, maybe.
I just think it's a missed opportunity. You've got Christmas songs to promote. Instead, they went with a DC Lee cover from the mid-80s. And, you know, I get it. They were trying to play it safe. They had a big hit with I'll Stand By You. They were trying to replicate the formula. But I don't necessarily think this is the right song for that moment.
No.
And Cheryl said in January 2008, she said that song was only put out because they were stuck for ballads. And she said, I wish we hadn't released See the Day.
I absolutely hate the track. I don't think it's us at all. Do you, Kimberly? No. You know, we've got a sort of half green screen, half real life music video, fake snow.
Love the snow globe experience for Girls Aloud. I mean, it's not as fun as Sophie Monk's fantastic snow globe experience in Inside Out, the music video.
Oh, brilliant. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think it's the real forgotten moment of the album, maybe rightfully so. I had to have it. I remember saying to my mum, like,
oh, did look. You go and buy it?
I said, Woolies. Look, can I have this as a stocking filler for Christmas?
Instead of the album? Or did you already have the album?
I had to have the album straight. I went out and got the album.
And you said to mum, he's like, I also need the single. Yeah, thanks very much.
No, I bought the album myself and I was like, I'd really love the single as a stocking filler, would be wonderful. Thank you. And she went, of course, Jolie. Yeah.
And which version did she get you?
Can't remember. Can't remember, David. I'm sorry.
Because, Joel, I must say, the true best gift of this single is the incredible B-side, I Don't Really Hate You. A very moody electro-pop bop, a little bit foreshadowing to Call the Shots that we'll get in a few years.
A vibe.
You'll be exactly who you wanna be. You'll find your way, don't wait around for me. I'm saying that the best things come for free. Just live your life, believe in destiny.
Really cool vocals as well from Sarah Harding there. That really soaring opening verse. Love it. And then the rest of the song is really like kind of ice cold. You know, we get Nicola, Cheryl Kimberley taking turns dishing out really cold lyrics.
Well done, girls. Well done, Xenomania. So the single was a top 10 hit. It went in at number 9 here in the UK, number 8 in Scotland and 14 in Ireland. Also in December 2005, while they didn't promote their Christmas album here with the single, they did host and perform Christmas Mania 2005, aired 17th of December 2005 in ITV. Probably a smidge too late to rush out those Christmas sales, if only it had been on a few weeks earlier in the month. But David Lim, we've got a whole lot of history. So one would say our podcast covers a whole lot of history.
Could have been another name for our podcast if you really think about it. But, you know, yeah. We really like Right Back At You.
Yeah.
Listen, I desperately need to get CD 2 of this single because that has got the stunning artwork. It's very inspired by classic film noir posters. We've got Kimberley with the umbrella. It's giving Singing in the Rain.
Cheryl draped across.
Yeah, really like reclining, but also like giving sexy but sad and moody.
Nadine's there on the phone like... Wait, mommy, where did you put my passport?
I'm talking about a whole lot of history. I can't find a way to show what you mean to me. I'm falling all around when you miss me. I don't know what to do, so tell me, baby.
CD one is stunning, but I love... the UK theatre tour poster feel of CD2. I think exactly. It's giving UK tour
I theater. Love it. Absolutely love it. So yeah, I'm going to look it up on eBay again, make sure it's at a decent price so I can get it for my collection. But JB, whole lot of history. This is a song that really, really hits a nerve. Like, God, the fucking heartbreak to this song.
Oh.
I'd just come out. I was experiencing a lot, relationships, finding myself, having fun. So yeah, in a way, this was the perfect soundtrack album for me. And yeah,
I think this is an incredible, beautiful song. I think it's a really interesting choice to go for another ballad straight after See the Day. But
why don't we have this in December? Do you think this could have been a December moment?
Because this literally, one mind here at Right Back At You, this should have been single 3, and then we should have had an up-tempo single for the fourth and final single
of the album.
And we
didn't need See the Day, sorry.
We didn't need See the Day. We didn't need See the Day on the album, if I'm honest.
Yeah, come on now. But it's only because of the strength of I'll Stand By You that they thought they needed to do another cover for Christmas. But really, I think the British public would have lapped onto this with the right amount of promo. We could have really all been in our feelings in December.
Yeah, like a somber, moody Christmas song. Like, Sad at Christmas is such a vibe.
Yeah, Sad at Christmas is my favourite kind of Christmas playlist. I've got a Sad Songs Christmas playlist.
And, like, it really could have been, like, looking back at, like, your relationships over Christmas, like, thinking about what they're up to and, like, looking back on past Christmases spent together. And, like, you could have even had a video where... when each girl was like sad and looking back, another member of Girls Aloud could be with the boy now. So like she's seeing like the boy she's speaking about with like Kimberly's looking sad. And then she's seeing him with say Nicola having a great time at Christmas and she's devastated. Like, and that's, and it could have been a real like past the parcel of all looking round. It could have all been the same one guy, but in different snapshots and scenarios.
Do you have a particular favourite moment of this song? Because I feel like all five girls really shine.
All five girls absolutely shine. But oh my God, Nicola's verse, pure brilliance. I love it so much. I love the recorded version. And then when she sings it live as well.
Devastating. It's devastating.
Hello, did you call me?
Yes.
I thought it didn't matter. Now you're gone and I know. End of story. I mean, slay it,
yes.
Nicola.
She was giving Mars Singer energy, yeah.
Me and my friends were always, at this time, were obsessed. We just, whenever we'd see each other around school, we'd just go, hello, did you call me? And then we'd go on our way. That was it. That was it. That's just how we'd greet each other.
I love it.
We've got the girls' first music video shot outside the UK.
Oh, in gorgeous gay Paris.
Invented Emily in Paris. This gorgeous Parisian video. Our Kim opens it. Living the dream, quick coffee and a croissant in Paris, looking gorgeous, like sexily flustered as you come in, have a sit down. And then she's off having a walk around in her brolly that we see on the single CD2 cover.
I just love how much they really thought about this single and just went, you know what? It may be single number 4, but we're giving it a moment. It's a new year. Let's go with that energy. I love the scenes of Sarah walking gorgeously
gorgeous.
In a houndstooth coat by the River Seine. The final scenes where they're all singing together, the group shot. It looks like the brief is the director saying, please be serious. And they're all just cracking up and laughing. Like, they couldn't be moody together. Like, they're all just having a little bit of an inside joke.
But Cheryl can be moody in her solo shots. They all can, really.
I'm writing me lyrics in me notebook.
Gorgeous.
And every girl looks gorgeous. There are certain songs that are very Nadine and Sarah led, perhaps. But to have a whole lot of history where all five girls really, like, have moments, this is a very, very special song.
Now, David, what I want to talk about is the B-side.
Thank you very much. Let's go, bitch. Oh, my God. Co-written and sung by Sheza.
Only sung by Sheza.
B-side on CD1, Crazy Fool.
David, now this is the song that I think did this birth and invent the next album era of Girls Aloud. This song is so strong that it could have been a double A side. Like, you're giving us B side that could have been single. Like, this could have been Whole Lot of History and Crazy Fool double A side.
You know what? For the longest time, the intro, the opening bars of this song was my Motorola alarm ringtone. Actually, now when I hear it, it's a bit triggering because it reminds me of, like, early mornings getting up for my lecture.
Wow. So in the Chemistry album, we've had a full solo song from 3 out of 5 girls. I would love to know what Sarah and Kimberly songs are in the vault.
Well, maybe Sarah's solo was the one that went to St. Trinian's, right? That track.
Oh, yes. So then what's Kim's?
Poor boy Peter didn't know how.
Yeah.
The full,
that could have just been its own song that they put on the beginning of that.
The full choir girl version is Kimberly's solo.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But yeah, I love the whole visuals of this. You know, I had a, when I went to the tour, which we'll talk about in a minute, they had a poster of the CD1 artwork, which I got. And yeah, oh, love it. I would maybe say this is my favorite single of the album.
Oh.
And it's interesting that, like, such an album that is so personal to me and, you know, the up-tempo moments are what I live for, is that this is something that I just hold so near and dear to my heart. It's not necessarily one that I would say sums up Chemistry, but it's just so special to me.
You know, if we're going to talk about the singles of this album, this will be the one I've listened to the most.
You heard it here first, listeners. So Hard Work paid off, number 6 here in the UK. As Cheryl will tell you in Off the Record, I think that's brilliant. Everyone that's got the album that has the song on it, and this is our 4th single from the album that everybody's already got at home. So I think it's great that they've gone out and got it.
I think it's really lovely that they went and got me B-side. They went out just to listen to me sing on me little B-side. Crazy Fool.
Thank you to my fighters, even though you're not fighters yet. Number 2 in Scotland and number top 2 / hit on the Scottish charts. Thank you to our Scottish babies. And number 18 in Ireland. Now, in April to May 2006, David Lim, Girls Aloud launched the greatest television program of all time, Girls Aloud Off the Record. Now, this was a 6-part docuseries for E4, following the latter part of promoting the Chemistry album and the build up to the Chemistry tour. Now, we're not going to get into it all now. Maybe we will one day, who knows? But I will strongly recommend friend of the podcast, Adam's Girls Aloud podcast, where he has gone into a 2-part episode dissecting this series with other friend of the podcast, Joe. So do go and listen to You Can't Mistake their anthology.
So good. And also, Off the Record is an incredible series. Like, I feel like so many of our kind of in-jokes with, like, gay Twitter has come out of Off the Record. Like, it's really part of our culture.
Who looks like the dickhead then? Not you. What is wrong with me? So, David, do you have any favourite or standout moments from this show?
Look, I think it was actually really special as an Aussie fan to see the Australian leg of the promo. We get to see promo in Sydney and like moments like that. It just feels really special to me to see that. So I loved all the Australian bits. Also them in the back of the car, you know, in Greece where Nadine was sticking her head out the window.
Well, firstly, we get to the taxi, which I just love. Excuse me. Is this your taxi? And then they're in there. Nadine, look how glamorous it is being in Girls Aloud. Those two things are like just going on in loop in my head constantly. And then the moment that you're talking about sticking her head out, and then she goes, imagine if I came in and I was just Nick. Invented hereditary.
What about you? Do you have a favourite moment?
Well, obviously we have to mention, are you the man?
Which we have talked about in our Sugar Babes episode. So, oh my God.
Iconic.
I forget that this was part of this. That's why Off the Record is so iconic.
The real snapshot of time.
So for those of you who don't know, Cheryl mistook Amel Baraba from Sugar Babes, her sister for the mom.
It was Amel's two sisters and they're waiting for Amel and Cheryl's talking to them on corridor and then Amel's coming over. And then she's like, how's she finding it all? Like, so lovely and genuine.
Really concerned, really genuine. Are you the ma'am?
And they're like, right, bye. And then she's like, oh, I didn't think she looked like the ma'am. Everybody thinks my mum's my sister. Oh, why did I say that? I just knew that she looked older. And then Kim pipes in, than her. Yeah. Oh, I felt like a right twat. Oh, fantastic.
But I think that's kind of, you know, sowing the seeds of we seeing Cheryl transition into being an X Factor judge and, you know, doing more telly. Like, she is kind of reality TV gold in that way.
Fantastic. They all are, yeah. Now, what we just will say, and this is my last thing on it, and we can move on.
We really want to dive deeper, but like, yeah, we're just giving you the highlights now because we just can't stop talking about it.
Which now I do have to thank Adam, because I saw it on his Girls Aloud podcast socials, that the Aussie stylist, Lauren, the infamous Lauren, who Cheryl gets in a bit of a waffle about, is only Kylie Anne and Danielle Jane's real life cousin. She's related to pop royalty.
And she's having to do with Cheryl's shit. Wow.
And then she was Danny's PA for a while on The X Factor. So I'm wondering, did she have a crossover with Shezza again?
Well, Lauren, hope you're doing well. You've had some real, real work experience.
Yeah, thriving in the industry. So let's move on, David, to May and June 2006. Girls Aloud go on their first arena tour. Now, David, let me tell you, I was so excited about this. After missing out on the What Will the Neighbours Say tour and beating myself up about it, there was no way I was missing out on this concert extravaganza.
Incredible. So the What Will the Neighbours Say tour just a year before was 22 dates. This one, the Chemistry tour, is relatively shorter. It's only 10 dates, but they were, as you say, arena tours. This is what fans have been waiting for Girls Aloud, and they're finally at this moment. And let's first of all start off with the support acts, because there are a couple of names that us girlies would know.
Oh, yes.
We got Frank, the girl band, the four-piece girl band, signed to Polydor, also had music through Xenomania.
And had a scripted T4 TV show.
Very interesting concept. I mean, maybe one day we'll get into Frank and all the other girl groups that, you know, had moments in the 2000s.
Oh, the girlies.
But also the other girl group that was supporting on this tour. Nylon, which is a name I kept seeing recently because you know why? Nylon, they're an Icelandic pop duo. One of the members, Alma Goodman, is actually a really successful songwriter these days. She writes for lots of K-pop idols like Twice, My Girls Aespa, the album track Lingo was co-written by her, and also Katy Perry and Alesso's recent single, When I'm Gone. That's by her as well. So, yeah.
Well, David, Nylon, I remember seeing them a bunch of times back in the day. They supported Girls Aloud. They supported McFly when I saw them on tour. Any pop tour at that time, it felt like Nylon were there supporting. They were doing a cover of Sweet Dreams at the time. Not Sweet Dreams, My LAX.
The Beyoncé song?
Not the Beyoncé song.
The Eurythmics.
Annie Lennox, yeah. David Lim. This was one of the greatest nights of my teenage life.
Who'd you go with?
I went with my sister Faye. I said to her, like, you know, come on, we're doing this. But then Kylie was sad to be missing out. So I snapped her up some good last minute tickets on eBay. So her and her friend Lucy went, and then we met Lucy there, but me, Kylie and Faye went in Faye's car. I put the whole set list onto a cassette. And don't be wrong, we were very much in a CD iPod time, but she had a cassette player in her car. So I'm like, right, that's what we're doing. I put, you know, the playlist of, you know, I must have made a mix CD of it first and then put that on a cassette. I could not wait. I was 15th row, which I was dead proud about.
Close.
Fantastic, yeah. Seats, especially with the catwalk, brings them even that much closer. The girls did not disappoint. Now, what I will tell you, David, is that to this day, I'm still so peeved that when it came out on DVD, they sold it as the Greatest Hits Tour to tie in with the Greatest Hits CD, even though the Greatest Hits Tour was the tour after this and they didn't film it.
I mean, do you feel like this was the better tour?
Keeps me up at night, David, because I didn't get to go to the other tour after.
Yeah, I guess we wouldn't know because I was living in Australia, so I wouldn't have had any Girls Aloud tours. But to me, I think, you know what? They're in Wembley Arena. It's an arena tour, and Chemistry is a great album. And they did do a lot of the hits, so it kind of felt like it could be a greatest hit set or whatever. But at this time in real time, I kind of thought, okay, can they really sing live? Is it really? Listen, don't judge me. I'm a kid in Australia that is not exposed to Girls Aloud. I didn't get Popstars Arrivals. Don't turn off your bloody screen. I can see you. Put that camera back on.
I mean, to be fair, you were spoiled. When you have bands like the Young Divas in Australia, who we know are vocalists, you know, nothing, you're going to have, you know, high standards, but Girls Aloud can sing
so good
live, David.
They really did a great job on this tour.
All the numbers are absolutely fantastic. Some I love and some we just have to speak about. The cover moments. We get in Love Machine, they add in a dance break to Amory's One Thing. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Everyone's got to have their favourite, you know, chicken gobble song. Following on from Teenage Dirtbag, we have the cover of I Predict a Riot, with the change lyric, borrow a pound for the bus stop. Now, this is a moment that isn't necessarily for me and not one I love, but I appreciate it's maybe they loved doing it and they felt like it was a thing to do.
I think I Predict a Riot was the cover for the younger people in the audience because we did have that medley of Fame, What a Feeling and Footloose, which, you know, to borrow Kimberly's words from the previous tour, is one for the moms and dads. And also, actually, admittedly, Kimberly said it was her idea.
It was my idea, so I hope you like it. We know you love your musicals, Kim. No, the 80s medley, I loved it. I love it now.
I actually thought it was really fun in a young diva's way, as we said.
Oh, it was just so much fun.
But also, like, that medley was a moment where the girls are split up, mostly in duos. So Fame was Nadine and Cheryl's moment. And it was like really lovely, like hearing their vocals on it. Nadine's really selling Fame. And, you know, the dancers were lifting Cheryl. She was getting a real Strictly moment there. What a Feeling. Obviously, Kimber is stepping in there. But also Nicola, like, you know, we forget sometimes in A Story of Girls Aloud that What a Feeling, this song was going to be a potential single for their greatest hits. Like, it was that seriously considered.
First, when there's nothing but a slow, glowing dream, and your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind.
Now, what we did learn from Sarah's book is that they were originally due to do a Spice Girls medley during this concert tour as well.
Mad.
But they cut it short at the last minute due to the running length of the show. All I'm saying is keep it in, girls. I would have stayed all night long.
Would you have preferred this medley or would you want a Spice Girls medley? I would have liked the Spice Girls medley, but that's saying something about my age.
Spice Girls medley instead of I Predict a Riot.
I mean, how long was that fucking song? How many Spice Girls songs could we have crammed in there?
All three albums.
Cheryl comes out with Holla. This one's for me, R&B fans.
What did you have any favourite standout moments watching this concert tour, Drew?
Wild Horses / Wake Me Up. What a moment. They came out with the black capes and that kind of choir girl intro. They whipped it off for Wake Me Up. I really enjoyed that. It was just beautiful.
Like, they were all 11 out of 10 fantastic, but Cheryl ate it up when it came to the dancing. It was like she... In like the best way, it felt like she had a point to prove. Not that she has any point to prove, but that was the energy she was giving.
But we said that about the last tour as well, when we were talking about it in the last episode. Like, I feel like Cheryl comes alive at certain points in the tour where it's very choreo heavy and she really goes for it. And it was only years later when I was watching Passions of Girls Aloud that I realized that, well, she has a passion for dance. And then now watching back, it's like, yeah, she's actually shown it very consistently through the shows.
Now, David, this nearly brings us to the end of the Chemistry era, but just a month after the Girls Aloud Chemistry tour has wrapped, our Cheryl marries partner at the time, Ashley Cole. Now, to be honest, I'm not really bothered about who the man is here, but all of Girls Aloud are her bridesmaids. And also in attendance, David, was Jamelia and the Sugar Babes.
All of them.
Not all six.
Even the ma'am.
Keisha, Heidi, and our girl, Amel. So, I mean, love to have been a fly on the wall at that wedding.
Do you feel from your recollection that Girls Aloud and Sugar Babes got along well?
Like, yeah.
They were kind of inter-member friendships locking.
It never felt they were ever, like, pitted against each other. It always felt like there was an equal level of respect, and it felt like they went out on occasion some nights, the girls, colleagues, like, girl, he's going for a drink after a bit of work. And then really excitingly, David, August 2006, Girls Aloud made their festival debut at V Festival. What a way to round out the Chemistry era by doing a condensed version of the Chemistry tour at V Festival. I remember watching this live on television when it happened.
And this is probably Girls Aloud's biggest festival booking to date. It's not their first festival slot. Their first was actually the year before.
What's it out?
In 2005 when they did Big In Finsbury Park. Yeah, but this is like proper legit big.
I guess it depends what counts as a festival, because Big Gay Out is sort of like Party in the Park, but for gays.
But I love that that's their first kind of festival.
Clea were also performing at Big Gay Out. Jenny Frost also performing at Big Gay Out.
Solo
Jenny Frost performing a song. I went into the dark web, like, what, found this out. She performed a song called, like, Don't Fuck With Me or something. Like, that's the lost Jenny track we need.
I remember she had a song called...
Bad Girl, the Lisa Scott Lee cover.
Bad Girl. I downloaded that on LimeWire back in the day.
So that was originally to be on Lisa Scott Lee's Unleashed. And then it went to Jenny and then never got released, unfortunately. But yeah, there's like a really ropey, like, pixelated on a phone, you can't really hear or see it version of Jenny singing this song, Don't Fuck With Me. So I'll send it to you.
Edgy.
Yeah, edgy
Don't
Jenny.
Don't fuck with me. I'm Jenny.
That's one of those ones. And Big Gay Out is something that really didn't pop off or happen again. I think maybe it did 2 years. I remember at the time seeing posters for it on the tube, but obviously being too young to go to it.
Well, love that for Girls Aloud. It was part of their story. And yeah, August 2006, it was V and it was big. Which was the year that you went?
So then I saw them perform at V like 2 years later. So this year, Girls Aloud performed in the Big Tent. And then when I saw them, they performed on the main stage. Sugar Babes were in the Big Tent and Girls Aloud were on the main stage. But big people were in the Big Tent too, you know.
Huge capacity. These tents are
absolutely
huge, honey.
Huge, darling. But yeah, loved it. I mean, I actually hated V Festival, but I loved seeing the pop girlies. David Lim, what an era. Do you have a favourite moment from any of it that you could pull out?
I'm really appreciating the design and the artwork for Girls Aloud's eras, especially these album number 2 and album number 3. the designers, Polydor, like everyone at Team Girls Aloud, really like brought their A game. And at the time, it probably felt like, oh, are we doing something that will last? Yes, bitch. Yes.
Form did what they had to do.
This is legacy stuff. This legacy stuff is still on my shelf to this very day in 2022.
And like, I'm not exaggerating at all. But we absolutely thank you to obviously all five of the girls, but everyone involved, because this literally did change my life, this era. And I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. Like, this was the thing I turned to when you need it in your teenage years. It's the thing that makes you happy. It's the thing that you turn to when you're not happy. It's the thing that gets you through. It's the thing that keeps you up when you are up. I had my stand card. Like,
you went to the arena tour.
You are the number one priority act in my life.
You bought See the Day. Yeah.
I bought See the Day.
So guys, before we go, I just want to say, absolutely love and appreciate all the messages, all the love, all the support that you guys are giving us. We are going to take a couple of months break just to kind of recalibrate, just to see what we can do to level up right back at you for you guys. You know, on top of juggling life and everything else, we just need a bit of time out just to figure stuff out. So
absolutely. So it's going to be, you know, behind the scenes to us, we are not going to stop. But as David said, we are just figuring things out, how we can make Right Back At You as special for you guys as it is for us. And all very exciting, but yeah, just going to need some time to figure it out and be back better than ever. Guys, girlies, non-binary friends, you have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. Do your boys a favor. If you are loving what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and tell your pop-loving friends all about us. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Kimberly Walsh Official. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B. And you can follow him at
Love Limmy.
Until next time, will you ever see the day? Bye. Bye.